Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website, which I will post a link to below this interview. Joel, I want to ask you kind of a broad question here, because it seems like day in, day out, week in, week out, all we're really talking about is potential changes in Fed policy, which there hasn't been a change in quite a while now, although the Fed is starting to talk about slowly maybe tapering some of their purchases, and also COVID. A lot of coverage still on COVID and the rising COVID numbers and the different variants. But when it comes to the markets, it seems like nothing else matters. Even U.S. economic data doesn't really seem to move the needle outside of the fact of people looking ahead and saying, ooh, maybe that'll impact what the Fed does. Is there anything on your radar that investors should be aware of rather than getting so bogged down in simply the Fed and COVID that could drive markets here, could be a catalyst that it seems like no one's paying attention to?
No, that's the catalyst you always have to look out for, the one that you didn't think about. No, I mean, we're pretty, you know, locked into this bull market here. Well, first of all, Chad, Corey, thanks for having me today. We're just locked in, steady stream, bull market, money rotates around, the tech stocks stay a little bit quiet, and then every once in a while they have another burst up. You are coming into seasonality factors a little bit, and if you guys aren't familiar with Sell Rosh Hashanah by Yom Kippur, that's the time in between the Jewish holidays. We're going into Rosh Hashanah. Investors of the Jewish faith want to be free of thinking about the markets and the investment, and they want to get ready for the Day of Atonement. So they sell. They sell all their holdings, and then they wait, and they atone for their sins, and they come back on the day of after Yom Kippur, which would be a week from Thursday, or excuse me, 2 weeks from Thursday, and re-enter the market. That strategy has had mixed results over the years. But, you know, it will be perhaps be a little bit slower day in the market on Tuesday, and then this coming Tuesday, and then a week from Thursday. But besides that, you guys are right. I mean, there's not a lot of catalyst through. We got through the majority of earnings season pretty well. The other thing, in September and October, you know, people can't forget the crash of 29 like me, and, you know, the fallout in 87. So there's been more volatility in those months, September and October. The trading desk will be, you know, full again after the August layoff. And then you have the Quad Witch, and the Quad Witch is going to be coming early this year just based on the fact that your Wednesday is September 1st. So the first Wednesday, second Wednesday, the 8th, we have rollover of the contracts, which creates a little volatility going from the June to the, or excuse me, from the SEP to the DEES. And then you'll have your Triple Witch expiration on the 17th. So really, that's about it as far as, you know, catalysts in the market, at least in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, Joel, one question I have is, we just had the big, you know, event in the United States with the hurricane hitting the Gulf Coast, particularly New Orleans and really Mississippi, Alabama, that whole area. And that has affected the oil markets to some degree. There's people speculating about, you know, was there anything damaged? And it sent prices higher. Then oil's back down lower a little bit today. What do you make of all that? And do you think any of that will be longer lasting? And combined with the OPEC has a meeting coming up?
Yeah, I mean, if just such a well-organized market. I'll leave it at that. I think the expectations of the hurricane came in. I mean, it was a bad hurricane. I don't want to diminish the damage that was done, but the levees did hold up better. So some of the damage that was done may not have been as bad. I know one of the companies had to shut down. I just look at crude, and I just look at them. Just amazing move it had, whether you want to count negative $40 or actually $10 is the low. You got overdone at 76, had to retreat to 62. And to me, I'm looking at it technically, and if crude doesn't regain the $69, $70 level yet, I'm looking for another leg down. I just think overall the demand for oil, electric cars, solar is going to be diminishing. So it's hard for me. I have very few energy stocks in my portfolio except when I'm exposed to ETFs. So, yeah, there's these short-term factors and rips and dips, but just technically and fundamentally, I think, that 76 plus you saw in crude is going to be the high for a while, and better get back over 70 or we're going to have another major leg down. We've only had one red candle since December of 20, and it looks like we're working on another red candle now. So two monthly red candles is a different story, but fundamentally, technically, I'm leaning to the short side on crude.
Joel, what about outside of the U.S., more specifically China? China's been in the news, cracked down on some of their stocks, which did cause a significant pullback in those stocks and even in some of the Chinese markets. But I have read some commentators saying, look, that could be the next big issue for these markets if China really cracks down on their own stocks. Right now, I still think that's making a little bit too much of it because we don't know what China's going to do. But do you think China needs to be watched? What do you think about some of their crackdowns?
Yeah, I mean, my buddy wrote a term paper in college, here comes China. And believe me, I was in college a long time ago. I mean, they have the population. They have the their agenda set for the next 50 to 100 years. Where the U.S. fits in that agenda, I don't know. It seems like everything they do seems to have calculated moves, sabotaging their own companies and the people that derive wealth from the United States are being punished. So, I don't know. That is a big, big unknown. I think they're going to try. I'm not really worried about any kind of, I shouldn't say I'm not worried. I'm worried about everything, but as far as it's going to be an economic war, it's going to be a cyber war. We're already having the cyber attacks. So that's the way it's going to be, death by a thousand cuts. I'm not looking at any international conflicts, but it's definitely you have to be concerned for years. I looked at the EM and the FXI and I'm like, yeah, I got to have that exposure. And then you just look at the chart and the chart says, stay the heck out. So it's an unknown. I wish I had a better answer for you than that. But their plan, whatever their plan is in the United States, it's not something that's going to matriculate, by the end of, next month. It's something, a longer term. And then you also have to look at it is, where do their goods and services go? What are their biggest trading partners? So that's a tough one. And I'll give you that it's a wild card. Even if I had that wild card in my deck, I don't know if I know how to play it.
Well, Joel, another wild card with China and technology was, and with them cracking down on regulations, was what they did, maybe 6 months ago to the Bitcoin market. But since then, and Bitcoin was at 64,000, dove down to 30,000. It's recovered now, it bouncing up to 50 and going back down. But there, you mentioned off mic that there's more of a divergence that you're seeing between Ethereum and Bitcoin. So I'd love you to expand on that a little bit for our
And I noticed that at the low, Ethereum just seems to be the leader. And it made the low of the move a little bit ahead of Bitcoin. It broke out of its trading range ahead of Bitcoin. Ethereum making a new high for the move today while Bitcoin's going the other way. It's down $1,300. I think you have, Bitcoin's not the only game in town anymore. I think you have arbitrage going on between the futures and the cryptocurrency. Also, I think it's become more of a trade, a hedging vehicle where, traders and, investors are playing, Bitcoin against this or Bitcoin against that. So Ethereum's been the clear leader. Also, when you look at like practical use, there is more uses for Ethereum as far as the, products, the NFTs are based on that. So Ethereum's the leader of the pack. And really, this is the biggest divergence I've seen today with Bitcoin down 2.6%, Ethereum going the other way, above 1.4%. So Ethereum's the leader. I don't know if we'll ever, catch it or surpass it in price, but I'd keep an eye on that if you're looking for Qs in Bitcoin.
So Joel, I guess for all the active traders out there, one theme that we've even talked about outside, or well, I guess combined with this rotation trade, is just playing the winners. When a stock, when a sector is moving higher, it tends to continue to grind higher in these markets until you start to see a rollover to another sector. And then as another sector outperforms, it continues to outperform. These aren't necessarily short-term trends. Is that what investors should be focused on, is just riding the wave higher?
Yeah, baby, rotation, rotation, rotation. And, you know, when the tech stocks aren't going up, they're flat. They seem to be COVID-proof. They, you know, the stay-at-home or your reopening trade, everyone uses technology. Apple, you know, clearing the 150 level. Microsoft had that big move a couple weeks ago, digested it. Amazon waking up from its post-earnings slumber. Google just continues to make new all-time highs. Facebook recovers from its post-earnings slamming too. So yeah, tech, and then I guess you want to be in tech, and then you want to be in tech. And those big components, the strength in the S&Ps, it's so hard for us to have a big down day, because if they're selling A, they're buying B. You know, if they're selling B, they're buying C. So there's almost like a just like insatiable bid underneath these markets, at least in the top components. Yes, am I concerned that the top five stocks, when I started, you know, religiously trading and charting the S&Ps, the top 10 stocks made up 25% of the index. Now the top five stocks make up 5% of the index. And that's a trend. That's a hard trend to break. And I'm certainly not looking for that to end anytime soon.
All right. Hey, Joel. Great chatting with you, buddy. I know it's kind of a boring market right now. It has been a boring market for a while. And we can try to look outside of, unfortunately, what I think everyone's tired of is the Fed and COVID, but those continue to be some of the major drivers for these markets, even though these markets, again, have been relatively boring. And it seems like risk off is a bit off the table as well. Joel, we'll chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week. And, well, yeah, hopefully there's more to talk about next week, buddy.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. And anybody that attended the event, thank you for attending. And we're planning another one early October, mid-October. I'll let you know what's going on with that. But I appreciate your support, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.